Yeah, we need the PO.
Hello? Okay, Mr. Martinez, I want you to stay on the line, sir. I do need to make one more phone call to your parole officer. Ms. Williams Hancock would like to be on the line during this hearing. So if you just stand by, do not hang up the phone, okay?
Okay.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand you wanted to be on the line for the hearing for Marciano Martinez.
Yes, good morning.
Marciano Martinez, I'm sorry. Okay, so we're getting ready to start that. I'm going to conference you in now, okay?
All right.
The Honorable Luis Quinones will be conducting the hearing. Mr. Martinez?
Yes, sir.
Are you on the line? Ms. Williams Hancock, are you on the line?
I am.
Oh, okay. Mr. Quinones is going to be conducting the hearing.
Thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Marciano Martinez. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Marciano Jose Martinez, 241-634.
Thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 4th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Here is your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today, and I'll begin with myself. I'll be serving as the hearing lead. My name is Luis Quinones. Also in the boardroom, we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal, our acting board chairman, Mr. Michael Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you and your supporters and the community corrections officer in. So, Mr. Martinez, Ms. Venegas, and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm? Yes,
Ms. Williams Hancock also.
Oh, pardon me, thank you. Ms. Williams Hancock?
I do.
Yeah, I got a little ahead of myself. So again, I'll ask again, Ms. Venegas, Mr. Martinez, Mr. Turner, and Ms. Williams Hancock, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Martinez, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. Keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, Mr. Martinez?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will now begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal rules or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer, by failing to report to 12325 West McDowell Road, Avondale, Arizona, on or about February 6, 2018, as verbally directed on February 6, 2018. Mr. Martinez, is this true or false?
False.
Thank you, sir. Based on your statement of false, we're going to take further information from the Department of Corrections, and then we'll come back to you shortly for a few questions, okay, sir?
Okay.
Mr. Turner.
Allegation number one, the offender was verbally directed by Probe Officer Williams Hancock to report to her in person at 12325 West McDowell Road, Avondale, Arizona, 85323, on January 30th, 2018. Offender failed to report on that date. On February 6, 2018, offender Martinez reported to the Western Regional Parole Office unscheduled, but Parole Officer Williams Hancock was in the field. P.O. Williams Hancock directed offender Martinez to report to 12325 West McDowell Road, Avondale, Arizona, 85323, immediately on February 6, 2018. And C.O. 2 Newland, the lobby officer at the parole office, gave him the address, cross streets, and meeting time while P.O. was on the telephone. Offender Martinez failed to report on February 6, 2018 as directed. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up, on February 6, 2018, after the offender failed to report, Parole Officer Williams Hancock drove to the approved residence of 8901 West Campbell Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. The vehicles were all in the driveway. Occupants within the residence could be heard, but no one would answer the door. A violation letter was left in the door jam, directing the offender to report to Western Regional Parole Office no later than 10 a.m. February 7, 2018. Offender Martinez failed to respond or report. On February 13, 2018, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and Maricopa Medical Center were both called. Offender Martinez is not currently in either facility.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Martinez.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is false about the allegation?
On February 6th, I showed up to the parole office after work. I was fortunate enough to catch a ride from a co-worker. I showed up to the parole office unscheduled as it said there in attempts to meet with my parole officer. Not once, but this is the third occasion I tried to meet with her. We both had conflicting schedules. Every time we spoke on the phone, either I was on the way to work or school, and at those times, like I said, we had a conflicting schedule. At this specific day, I was instructed to go to Friendship Park. She said that I was instructed or gave the address of Friendship Park. I was not issued that by Officer Newman. Okay, I was told to go to Friendship Park. I was on my phone Googling it, trying to find out where I was at. All of the men were heading that way. In attempts of trying to contact her, I was getting no calls, no texts, no nothing back. I even then asked Officer Newman if he could let her know that I'm trying to get in contact with her. I was actively avoiding her whatsoever. On numerous occasions, I showed up to the parole office unscheduled. That you can check your login sheet as well at the parole office. On numerous occasions, on three occasions specifically, I showed up because I have not met my parole officer. I understand the severity of this. You know what I mean? I'm trying to actively change, you know what I mean, my ways of being and get outside of my comfort zone. I just did 9 years. I'm not trying to repeat this. I'm not trying to be a part of recidivism of Arizona. Like, I enroll in school. I work full time. I work full time at Papa John's. I go to school from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. I mean, I made a mistake in thinking that I could just adapt right back to society.
Mr. Martinez, we're getting into some real specific information here, and usually during phase one, you know, we ask what's false, and you've given us information, so I'm going to take a little bit of extra time to speak with your parole officer real quick. Officer Williams Hancock?
Yeah.
Is how he's describing it, how it unfolded before we go on phase one?
Well, and he is being fairly accurate. Here's what was going on. He was transferred me because he changed residence. And so I drove to his residence. I met with his family numerous times. He was never there. I would say, have him call me. He would call sometimes, but he never would avail himself. I say, you need to report to me on this day. He wouldn't report that day. I would try to facilitate. I meet with them out in the field a lot of the time so that it does remove obstacles. On this particular day, he hadn't seen me for, I hadn't seen him at all. And so I met with him face to face on, let me go back a second, I'm in my log. I met with him face to face on okay, so he was seen by his parole officer, his first parole officer, on December 8th. On December 12th, I drove to his residence to try to accept this transfer, and he wasn't there. And so then on, watch the scoop flow. On December the 15th, he showed up at the office without an appointment, and I was in the field. I was 45 miles away. And so the parole officer then saw him and told him he needed to meet with me, and so he was directed to meet with me on February 18th. He called me on that day and said, oh, hey, I got a job, and I said, meet me here at the office today, and we will go to Arizona at work and see if we can't sign up for additional opportunities for employment in case you don't get the job that you just interviewed for. And he didn't do it.
Excuse me. Hold on. No, sir. One second. Officer Williams Hancock, was this reference to Friendship Park? Was that actually somewhere in...
Friendship Park is the location, that's one of the locations. I'm meeting two different locations with them. One location is at Friendship Park, which is 12300 West McDowell Road, and I sit under a tree, and I sit there for 3 hours, and they come rolling in, and they meet with me. On the day in question where he has missed numerous appointments with me, numerous attempts have been made to have him contact me. That day, he went to the office. I was already in the field, and he was on the phone with Officer Newland. He Officer Newland was on the phone with me, and he was told, you meet your parole officer at Friendship Park between 3 and 5, and this is the approximate address. Obviously, there's no real definite address for the tree that I'm parked under. When he gets to the park, he has to call me. I never have had a phone number for this young man. I never was available. He was never available to give me a phone number. I never did receive text. I never did have any information from him.
Okay.
So on this date in question, he was called. We meet the parole officer. I was on the phone with him, and I could tell him to meet me at Friendship Park between 3 and 5. He didn't do it. I drove to the residence, I dropped off a violation letter, with no response to the violation letter.
Okay, officer, just a quick follow-up question from my understanding, and then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. From that time that he was assigned to you between December and February, did you ever meet with him face-to-face?
Let me look real quick here. I never did.
Okay, I just wanted clarification. All right, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for phase one, and we'll see where the votes land. And that is based on, 1 second, information provided by the Department of Corrections, as well as the information warrant number 2018W0452. I make a motion, to find Mr. Martinez delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Just 1 second to complete the paperwork. And then we'll move on with phase two. Mr. Martinez, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision will be continued or revoked. But before we move on, Please stand by as Mr. Turner is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail, and we'll also give an opportunity for your supporter to speak to the board. Mr. Turner, if you will.
Okay. Mr. Martinez was released from ADC custody on 11/20/2017. He was arrested on February 17, 2018. He was arrested by Arizona DPS, no new charges. He was returned back to DOC custody on 3/12/2018 with an adjusted date of 8/30/2018. Current conviction, 2009 count A, burglary tools possession 1 year. 2009 count B, burglary third degree 2 years and 6 months. 2009 count C, armed robbery 10 years and 6 months. No prior convictions. This is his first term. He has a CUIR score of 3-4, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. He admitted to being a member of the Southside Bloods. His disciplinary is significant with violence, drugs, threatening, disorderly conduct, and promoting prison contraband noted. Okay. He was actually booked into MCSO by DPS and transferred back to DOC. Other arrest, 1998, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. Also in 1998, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, theft, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. Also in 2003, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, shoplifting, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, criminal trespassing first degree, Arizona juvenile detention. Also in 2006, burglary third degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 2006, false statement, Arizona juvenile detention. 2008, burglary third degree, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2008, armed robbery, Arizona felony conviction, probation. The offender has a risk score of G3B4.
And for clarification, Mr. Turner, were there abscond days in there?
There was 11 abscond days.
11 abscond days.
There was an adjusted release date of 8/30 of 2018.
Okay. Now, on our sheet, just I want clarification on this, too. We had him actually as 8/30 of 2019. That's a big difference. So it was 2018.
Let me double check.
The best date we have.
You are correct. I am wrong. It is 2019.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that
we're looking at the...
Mr. Quinones?
Yes, sir.
Can I also ask, were there abscond days?
11 abscond.
11. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
Good to know. Okay, Mr. Martinez, we're going to go through a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with the approved residence of your sister, Dinah Carrillo, at 833 East Mitten, Phoenix, Arizona. And then your officer was advised that you could no longer live there. On November 21st, 2017, you requested permission to reside with your aunt, Suzette Del Rio, who was called and gave verbal consent for him to reside, and then she and her family at 8901 West Campbell, Phoenix, Arizona. Pardon me. The file was transferred to Parole Officer Williams Hancock on December 12, 2017, where your residence was approved. It was believed that you lived there while in the community prior to absconding. Was that your last residence before you were arrested by DPS, Mr. Martinez?
That is my last current residence still, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have employment notes that you secured employment and property. I am getting tongue-twisted today. Papa John's Soups and Salads Warehouse, is that where you worked?
That's correct, sir.
And how long did you work there, Mr. Martinez?
I was hired, I believe, December 19th.
And that was through the time that you were arrested by DPS?
Say again?
That was, you worked there until you were arrested on your absconder status?
I was employed there from December 19th all the way to my resting date, February 17th of 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Some programming notes that you submitted some new analysis on December 27th and January 29th. Both were negative for illegal substances, which we commend you for. You were not referred to formal programming.
Also, I would like to point out the day of the arrest warrant, I was at task that day, that morning. It was Valentine's Day. I went to drop that morning to drop a UA. I had no knowledge of me being violated whatsoever. I was continuing my regular schedule of work in school.
Well, I appreciate you adding that information, but I don't have any reference to you providing your analysis on Valentine's Day. It looks like that your last one, according to our record, was January 29, 2018. Says follow-up on February 13, 2018, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and Maricopa County Medical Center were both called, and as of that date, you were in neither facility. So, Mr. Martinez, I will ask you, what were you doing for the 11 days that you were missing from community supervision?
I believe I have phone records of me attempting to contact her, but just like I said, I was continuously working and going to school. I notified my parole officer, Ms. Stuart in Hancock, when I secured employment at Papa John's. And then that time I also notified her that I was enrolling into AAI, so I was working and going to school. All that I should have proof of as well. I don't know if my family's there, but they sent all the packet of enrollment papers, attendance sheets, pay stubs, everything to verify that. I mean, I was not hiding or doing anything out of my regular schedule than working or going to school.
Okay, Mr. Martinez, first of all, I'm not going to scold you. I do commend you for having work. Information was provided about your schooling. And again, where were you going to school again?
AAI, 46th Avenue of Lindo.
Those are positive steps, and I'm not going to disregard them. But I think the important thing is it's your responsibility to maintain contact with your parole officer at the end of the day, no matter how we argue this. It was your responsibility to maintain contact with her, and if I'm not mistaken, we'll talk to her a little bit more, but your officer said that she was never able to get a hold of you for a face-to-face contact, which is what resulted in you being violated under community supervision. I'll ask this. What was it that caused the Arizona Department of Public Safety to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder status?
That day specifically, it was my niece's birthday party. Me and my old lady were giving my brother-in-law a ride home back to Ahwatukee. And I was asleep in the passenger seat. She had fell asleep at the wheel, and we were in an accident. At that time, she was hysterical. She didn't even know what to do. I'm the one who called the police and reported the accident. When the DPS officer showed up, I was forthcoming with her as well. Hey, here's my ID. I'm off the road. I have to report this. I had no intent to run from any law enforcement. I had no intent to avoid any of that, despite how it's coming out to be that way. Like me, I don't want to sit here and argue with Sue William Hancock about the tips or tat, but in all honesty, she knows that I did try to get in contact with her, and we did have conflicting schedules, all right? But I'm not sitting here and placing blame on her or me. I understand. I got to be held accountable and be responsible for my actions, but also, I mean, if we're being held accountable, I mean, look at also the things that you would let up to this. It's not just me. I mean,
okay.
I've tried so hard for me to make changes in my life and go to school and make a change and do different things. And like to have that feeling that I'm putting it up because I understand I'm a parole officer, you know what I mean? I messed up like that, but I never tried to belittle the situation. I went out of my way numerous times to go to that parole officer and try to get in contact with her. I've spoke to Officer Newman on numerous occasions, and also my old parole officer, he's like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to get a hold of my parole officer. I have not been able to get a hold of her. She makes it out to be like it's all me. It's not. I'm not placing blame on her. I'm not placing blame on nobody, but I'm asking to look at this.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
I do.
Okay, yes, Mr. Johnson.
So what were you doing when you wind up with contact with DPS?
We were leaving my brother-in-law right home. We were on the way back home. I was asleep in the passenger seat. My late father at the wheel.
Then why did DPS stop you?
They didn't stop us when we were in the accident. We had to stop. We reported the accident.
Okay. And so
we started speaking at the rear end of the vehicle.
Okay. So what were you doing those 11 days that you were in Abscondo? Why didn't you contact your PO during that period of time?
I tried to contact my PO on numerous occasions. I don't know if she has my text messages or call logs printed out, but in my phone, it shows all that. I just got out of a recent breakup and all that other stuff, so I mean, I doubt that that information is there. I don't know if it's there or not, to be honest with you. But like I said, I have my work schedule. You can see my school attendance and my check stubs all the way from there. I did not derail or deter from my normal way of being. I was working full time. I go to work. I wake up at 4 a.m. and clock in at 4:30. I'll be out by 2 o'clock. And if I'm lucky, I get to go home, go to sleep for a couple hours, wake up at 6 p.m., wake up at 5 p.m., I'm at school from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. I'm working full time and going to school.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from fellow board members? Okay. Mr. Martinez, I'm going to give your supporter a chance to speak to the board. So if you will approach the podium. And I'll ask you to state your name. Well, you don't have a microphone. So actually, if you've seen this, if you can actually stand between the podium and us so that Mr. Martinez can hear you as well and so that we can get you on the record. Can you state your name?
Nilda Benegas.
Okay, and what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Okay, I just want to say that I'm speaking on behalf of Marciano Martinez. Since his prison release, Marciano obtained a full-time job, and he was also a full-time student. His mindset was to make a better life for himself. He kept in contact with his probation officer and everything that was asked of him, as he was in full compliance. And I believe you have the copies of text messages and stuff like that. Marciano called the day in question when he was supposed to meet her. He called the probation officer from her office on 16th Street and Grant, where she then told him to meet her at Friendship Park in Avondale, but never texted him the address. His probation officer gave him a time to be there, but unfortunately, being on the bus, he wasn't able to make it from 16th Street to Friendship Park, which is on 127th Avenue. Marciano called me for a ride, and I told him yes, that I would take him, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to pick him up. He had all intentions on meeting up with his probation officer, as he didn't want to miss any of his meetings. The next day, February 15th, Marciano texts his probation officer saying that he'd been trying to get in contact with her, but it keeps going to voicemail. Then he gave her his new phone number, asking her to please get in contact with him. He said he was at work, and by 6 o'clock p.m., he'll be at school. Those were his regular school and work hours. I feel responsible for not getting him to his meeting, as I am a full-time caretaker to 4 disabled, and I had an emergency that day. After all he's been through and trying to get his life to go in a positive direction, I believe he deserves a second chance, and I believe keeping him in prison will be detrimental to him and a huge setback to getting his life together. I'm hoping you give him leniency today, as I feel this has all been a miscommunication on the part of his probation officer and himself. And he is owning up to his responsibility of trying to get in contact with her more.
Thank you, ma'am. Hold on one second. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have one, and again, it's certainly not to put you on the spot. I could always ask Mr. Martinez, but who was driving in the accident? And
it was his ex-girlfriend.
Did she get cited?
But he was, because there was an accident, and she was, I don't know if she was passed out, or he's the one who called for emergency.
Did she get arrested?
No, he did, but he had no knowledge of any warrant for his arrest, any kind of violation or anything. If somebody was ready to run, they will not call the cops on themselves, you know? So I don't believe he had any intentions of trying to hide that he was in violation or had a warrant out for his arrest or wanting to run. That doesn't sound like somebody wants to run if they call the cops.
Mr. Canales. Yes, yes, Mr. Turner.
For the record, a couple of things. Number one, Officer Newman is the lobby officer at the 801 building. He's not a parole officer. And then when he was arrested at the accident, he was not only arrested on the ADC warrant, he was actually also arrested on a bench warrant for failure to appear on 2010 for an assault charge.
Excuse me, Mr. Warren. Hold on, sir. I'm not ready to speak with you yet. Ma'am, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Yes, Mr. Martinez, you wanted to share something.
Yes, the misdemeanor is failure to report assault warrant. I've been incarcerated since October 4th, 2008. I was released November 21st, 2017. That I was released with that misdemeanor warrant, and due to how old it is, they would not allow me to address it like that. I had to take certain steps to go about that. But in that time, I got that misdemeanor address amongst the rest of my, excuse me, my arresting date, February 17th, 2018. I was booked in to MCSO under that misdemeanor. That misdemeanor has been addressed, time served as of March 9th, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. I'm going to take some further information here from our in-house community corrections officer. Yes, sir.
Well, this is Paul, Supervisor Sanders. I do swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Thank you, sir.
I do so affirm. In review of what I've just heard in assistance here, the bench warrant was issued for the FTA, failed to appear on that charge, the assault charge. Just because a warrant was issued in 2010 does not mean that that's when the offense occurred. So him being incarcerated is irrelevant to that warrant being issued by the judge.
Thank you, Mr. Saunders, and that is our, I guess, our trainer for our hearing officer. So, Mr. Martinez, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussions? We only ask that you don't, hold on one second, repeat anything that you've already told us, but hold on one second.
Did you have anything else? Roll off, sir.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Because I spoke to her earlier, I didn't get to that. Miss Officer Williams Hancock?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I did not have follow-up with you. So is there anything else that you would like to share with the board?
Well, the only thing I have to say is that I would have been willing to meet him at his residence when he said he was taking a nap, when he had opportunities to take naps. I went to his residence full time, and I would have been happy to meet with him at his residence. Even the day in question where I wrote the warrant, because he had been out for 2 months on my caseload and I hadn't met him yet, and he wouldn't avail himself, I went by his residence, and I could have met with him then. But he did not avail himself, and so that's all I have to say. He was on supervision with me 2 months, and I never did see him. He was seen twice in the office, once by Michelle Palmer. She gave him a new report day, and a few days later, he didn't meet that one. And he did call me numerous times, but if they call through the 771 number at the office, it blocks it and it comes up on my cell phone as a restricted. and so I don't have a phone number available. I did not get one single text from this man.
Officer Williams Hancock, first of all, thank you for making yourself available for this hearing, and I apologize for getting a little ahead of that. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go into discussion?
No, that's it.
Okay. Mr. Martinez, I'm going to say this again. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else you feel you need to say?
I'd like to just... I'm asking for a second chance, man. I'm taking the right steps. There's a change in my life. I'm not a proper person for you guys. I mean, I understand I've made some bad mistakes in my life, but from when I was a kid growing up to now, I mean, you guys can even see the progress and the decisions I'm making. You know what I mean? All I ask is, I'm asking for a second chance. Ms. William Hancock, I apologize about not being making myself available, as you said, but like, those ain't my intentions whatsoever. And you and I both know we have spoke on numerous occasions, and that our conflicting schedules and the times that we did ask to meet, I asked you if I was needing to make myself available, as long as you're working and going to school, we'll find the time to meet next week, and we'll find the time. But like I said, I'm not trying to get into debate on the he said, she said. I'd like to thank you guys for your time, and whatever decision it is, you know, the outcome, I understand I got to look at that, and I'm going to continue the path I'm on, man. I'm determined to overcome this parole or this time or whatever, but I refuse to make this my life. Like, I refuse to. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual decisions. So if you'll just remain silent on the telephone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I don't want to belabor this hearing. I will say that I find this particular hearing unfortunate, as Mr. Martinez is looking at over a year of his flat sentence or his prison sentence before he's completed and returned to the community. The part that I think is unfortunate is what I stated earlier, which is ultimately it was Mr. Martinez's responsibility to make time to make a contact with his parole officer and abide by the conditions of his community release. He was only missing for 11 days. There is reference to him working and going to school, and I think that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think it's an unfortunate situation. I would tell you just my opinion. I think that Mr. Martinez was trying to do well and do the right thing, just failed to understand the importance of contacting his PO. And maintaining liaison, contacting his PO is important. And it does not mean just simply leaving a message or a call or call and saying that he has to make sure he has that one-on-one contact with his PO, and that should be a priority. I don't think that he made that a priority. I think he did make some efforts. He did talk to his PO, but he did not avail himself to his PO when he should have. But he was doing all the other things where there are things where he's in school. There's his timesheet where he was at Birkin and his pay stub where he was actually working. I'm not opposed to reinstating him, long as he has the understanding, and I think now he realizes the importance of making the self-contact his parole officer. I certainly think the parole officer who was trying to contact him and have a liaison with him, and the end result, as you say, it is his responsibility to make sure that that's done and that he has that opportunity to do that. So That's my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And before we continue, I won't say this, and I'm going to use some common language, but in the face of anyone, certainly I understand the parole officer's decision to violate him, especially when an individual is not cooperating with their meetings. But I'm trying to balance this out in hopes of giving Mr. Martinez a chance to straighten up and fly right. I'm going to use some common language today, so I will continue the discussion. Ms. Rittenhouse.
I just think possibly if we did reinstate, because I agree, I think he was doing things right, but he needs to stay in touch with his parole officer.
Yes, ma'am.
He needs to stay in touch with his parole officer. And I'm wondering if we could put in conditions that, you know, there's the one about first UA or whatever.
Yes, ma'am.
Instead of UA, first instance of not being in contact with the parole officer.
Thank you. I think we're very like-minded on that, because I was looking for some language that was specifically contacted with no wiggle room.
Yeah.
Mr. Neal.
I agree with that. The stipulation that a condition that he can't, you know, some way around that he can't miss a required contact with the PO, must establish contact with the PO on release and maintain that contact.
It can't be his number one priority. It can't be. I mean, I'd like for him to go to school. I'd like for him to work. He got to make that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I have a feeling the PO would work with him on that if he's trying to go to school, and then have to have a meeting that if he will communicate, they could make that work.
Okay, fellow board members, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And that is, my motion is to continue Mr. Martinez on community supervision with amended conditions. That's where I begin the motion anyways.
Okay.
Seconded by Mr. Neal.
Agreed.
Agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. And this is where it's going to get interesting, and that's the conditions. Okay, 1 second. For sure that the parole officers start revocation upon the first positive or negative miss unsuitable for testing unexcused UA. And I'll ask my fellow board members on number 10, where we can just write it in.
Yep.
Return to board for modification if unable to meet board amended condition. Correct? And then we'll state that PO to start revocation upon first.
It'll have to be at the parole officer's discretion, right. I think.
Okay. But first missed meeting with parole officer at parole officer's discretion or something like that.
Something like that.
Thank you, ma'am.
You must make and maintain contact with the PO.
Upon first missed meeting with PO at PO's discretion.
Yeah, I think that's. If it gives the PO some room.
Thank you, fellow board members. Okay. Mr. Martinez, did you hear our vote?
I was a bit unclear,
Okay, we did vote to return you to community supervision under many conditions, but this is the big one. It sounds like that you were doing well otherwise as far as returning to the community, but you absolutely have to meet with your parole officer when they ask you to. So, at the parole officer's discretion, the PO can start revocation upon your first missed meeting. So again, I wrote it, PO to start revocation upon first missed meeting with PO at PO's discretion. So we're not giving you any wiggle room, do you understand?
Absolutely, sir.
We're giving you a chance. I will say, as one voting board member, I'm impressed that you're working and pursuing school and making good with your life, but you have to cooperate with the conditions of supervision.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, that being stated, I think it's time to bring this hearing to a close.
Yeah,
put
the
CO3
on the line.
Yes, Mr. Martinez, if you could put your CO3 on the line, and Ms. Officer Williams Hancock, thank you for appearing for the board. You understand where we're going with this, as far as giving him another opportunity, correct?
Thanks, I'm perfectly good with your decision. Thank you.
We understand your role, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Right.
Excuse me, real quick.
Sir?
Hello?
Yes.
Excuse me, is it possible, because I don't have transportation, I'm in a process of being...
Mr. Martinez, talk to your CO3, we need to end this hearing.
Okay.